Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Jackson White Show. This is episode 3, and I am very, very excited about today's episode. As earlier today, I got to sit down with Coach Lane Kiffin from FAU and talk to him about literally everything under the sun, from his spiritual upbringing to his time at Oakland, his time at Tennessee, USC, and now at FAU. We really had a great conversation. It's about 12 minutes long, and I hope you enjoy it. I also highly encourage you to check out Coach Kiffin's interview that he penned for Athletes for God. That link is in the description of today's episode. Hope you enjoy. Hope you have a great Wednesday night, and I hope you have a great rest of the week. God bless, and enjoy the interview. All right, good afternoon, everybody. I am very excited about this afternoon's guest. My guest really needs no introduction in the world of football or in the state of Tennessee. My guest at this time is current FAU head coach, Lane Kiffin. Coach, how are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's no problem. Thanks for being on here. It's an honor and it's a real treat for me to get to do this. And yeah, I know you're very busy as silent period's winding down. You're about to hit the last phase of recruiting, so it means a lot to me that you came on today.
You got it.
So I guess let's just start with current day. So you just completed your second season at FAU, and I know 5-7 isn't ideal, but on the other side of the coin, you've won 16 games in 2 years where they had just 9 wins in 3 years before you got there. So where's the program at right now in your eyes and versus where it was when you got here, and how close you all think you are from being a big-time player in college football?
Well, as you mentioned, you know, 16 wins in 2 years is a long ways from, you know, averaging 3 years or 3 wins in 3 years before. So, you know, we wish we would have done even better last year. So we're excited for, you know, our third season coming up and get back on the winning track.
Yeah, I'm really excited for FAU. I mean, what you did last year, 11 wins, was just remarkable. And you also have to look behind the 5-7 this year. You had to play Oklahoma. You had to play Army, which was a very highly touted offensive team. So there are some things in there that, you know, if you hadn't had to play Oklahoma, you could have probably been 6-7, 8 wins. So you never know. So I want to talk more about the article you penned in Athletes for God. And, you know, the last time we talked, you said that article has – made more noise and headway than pretty much any interview you've ever done before. I'll post the article link in the description for anybody who wants to read it. I highly recommend you reading it. So first, you talked about in the article about your spiritual upbringing. Can you talk a little more about that?
You know, my mom was heavily involved in the church, and so spent a lot of time there coming up. Dad was working a lot. So, you know, and then kind of, you know, like a lot of people, kind of got away for a while, and been refreshing to come back. It's funny you mentioned that article, because it's still, you know, I guess close to a year later, however long it's been, people still bring it up. I actually got a book mailed to me today from a nice lady in Tennessee that wrote a long 3-page note to me. That was really nice.
Well, that's awesome. Especially in Tennessee, so that's encouraging.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. What would you say to a young coach who's, you know, struggling maybe to have a healthy relationship with God, or maybe someone that's kind of like you put it, you know, you get in the coaching world and you might distance yourself from that relationship?
Well, that's easy to do when success happens to a lot of people. You know, things are going good, and so you think you got everything figured out. What I recall looking back is, you know, the coaches that did have great relationships and, you know, had things figured out, you know, I felt were able to weigh the rough times a lot better, you know, the ones that didn't, that had put all their identity into, you know, their job. So I think that that's really good advice for young coaches to, you know, create balance so you're not, you know, defined by your job.
That's awesome. I think in any line of work, it's easy for us to get defined by one thing. Being in full-time ministry, if I wrap up my identity in being in ministry instead of, you know, having a relationship with God first, you know, it can all very easily unravel. So, you know, we've pretty much all seen you kind of, you know, you've been in the limelight for a while now. We've pretty much watched you from your early 30s up until now. And, you know, the bright lights were on you. You know, at 31, you were the head coach of the Oakland Raiders, which is one of the most storied markets in the NFL. At 33, you were the head coach at the Tennessee Volunteers. And then just 14 months later, you became the head coach at your dream job at the time, USC. So I just want to talk about, you know, as being a 31-year-old, becoming the head coach of the Oakland Raiders. I mean, that's a tall task. I mean, when you talk about storied NFL markets, you talk about Dallas and Pittsburgh, and Oakland's in that conversation as well. So as a 31-year-old, what was going on in your mind when you took that job?
Well, I think that might be one of the few good things about being young is that you don't kind of realize how big it is at the time.
Yeah.
So that can be good, like everything can be good and bad. So
yeah.
It is crazy looking back, you know, that you obviously weren't ready for that at that time, you know, even though you thought you were at the time. Mm-hmm. So, but everything happens for a reason. Learning process as you go through it makes you better long run, as long as you learn from your experiences.
Well, that's awesome. And, you know, I couldn't imagine, you know, I'm almost at 31. If you told me that I'm going to be a head coach of a big market, I'd probably freak out. So I think, you know, you handled it very well. So I saw in an interview that you recently did, I think it was with John Gordon. Is that his name?
Yep.
Okay. You said that you recently thanked Pat Hayden for firing you, and that just really blew me away, and which leads me to my next question. Do you think getting fired at USC is the best, worst thing to ever happen to you?
Yeah, I think that, you know, like I just mentioned, that everything bad can be good, everything good can be bad. Mm-hmm. So you think things are really good at one time or really bad when something happens, and a lot of times down the road it ends up being exactly opposite. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's a book Ryan Holiday wrote, Obstacles the Way, that basically your obstacles that happen that you think are disasters can really be the way if you go through them the right way and learn from them. And so, you know, that was, now I look back, you know, humbling experience and get you kind of to refocus back on some things.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's just cool seeing how, you know, like you said, you know, things that you thought could be the worst thing possible can turn out in the long run being the best. So, in regards to the players at FAU, I've read where some go to church with you. How have the players responded to your rebirth spiritually? And have you been able to, you know, help some players with some maybe spiritual rebirths or births of their own?
We have, you know, go to the church over here or right on campus, which is great, or even recruits when they come, we've brought them, and so that, you know, their parents and families can see that, you know, not just their local church, one right here on campus, and that has a pastor that is involved with our team as well and comes on some of the trips and things. So it's been a great connection to make with them.
That's awesome. So we just have two more questions. You care if I ask you a couple of Tennessee questions?
No problem.
I know some people that will probably bust the windshield out of my car if I don't ask you a couple Tennessee questions. So,
okay.
Being right in the heart of Tennessee. I want to talk about the last two Tennessee coaching searches, the head coach and the offensive coordinator coaching search, which just wrapped up today. Even in regards to the head coaching search, there was a massive outcry from Vol fans wanting to see you return to Knoxville. There was a newspaper article in the Tennessean. There was massive tweets from Vol Nation on Twitter. Even when they, you know, released John Curry's email and phone files, there, your name was all over it. So, you know, considering how you left, when the night you left, they were burning couches and mattresses, to see them want you to come back, see us want you to come back, had to make you feel pretty good.
It did. I think that's human nature, and you know, time a lot of times heals things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was good to see. And I'm really glad, more importantly, that they got a great coach in Jeremy Pruitt. Now Jim Chaney coming back is a great combination together.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think, like you said, time heals everything. I think also time helps you to look back. I remember when you left for USC, I was 18 years old, and I really didn't get it at the time, but you know, all I do, it was your dream job. All of your kids were born there. You really, you know, all your professional career, or your coaching career, was in California. So you really had no choice but to go back. And I think if the sanctions hadn't came down, I think you could have been very successful there. And even, I think 28-15 was very successful considering everything that was handed down to you.
Well, thank you. And that was part of the frustration at the time, you know, to go 28-15, you know, with those major penalties around us. But, you know, like we've already discussed, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Oh, yeah. And at least now you know, because I remember, I think you even said in the article, maybe even the last time we talked, you said you couldn't say no, or you hate to be watching them on TV thinking, you know, what could have happened if I'd gone there. So at least now you know. So what was your favorite moment at Tennessee?
Never been asked that. My favorite moment at Tennessee would have probably been the Halloween night game with South Carolina.
Oh, that was
Georgia,
so cool.
Probably both those.
I was actually at the Georgia game, and that was one of the most fun atmospheres I've ever been a part of in a Tennessee game. And I've been going to games since I was seven, so that would have been 98, national championship year. And I remember jumping up and down with my cousins and my brother. We were just having a blast. So thank you for creating a fun atmosphere while you were here. And I don't know if you've ever heard this or not, but I just wanted to personally thank you for the hard work you put in here at Tennessee. I mean, things came and unexpectedly, as things do, but I really truly believe the 14 months you were here, you put everything you had into the program. So thank you for that.
You got it. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. So before we wrap up here, is it okay if I say a little prayer over you?
Okay.
All right, thanks, Coach. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for Coach Kiffin. We thank you for just how you've really just did a big work in his life over the last year. Thank you that he is, you have pointed out to where he needs to be in his walk with you, God, and I pray you'll bless that more than you already have. I pray you'll honor that more than you already have. I pray you'll bless his future endeavors as coach of FAU, God. I pray you give him wisdom and guidance and everything, and I pray that you'll get the glory. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Hey, no problem. Hey, Coach, I really appreciate it, and hopefully we can do it again sometime.
All right, good luck.
All right, you too. Thanks.
Thanks.
And there you have it. There's my interview with Coach Lane Kiffin. Hope you all have a great day.